This is a Collider.com audio interview.
So how are you enjoying New York City today?
Hey, I'm enjoying it a lot. It's amazing.
I haven't actually ever interviewed you, but I usually start out with like a fun question. So this is what I do with everybody. So my fun question for you is, what is the best prank you've ever seen done, or the best prank you wish you were a part of, or just a cool prank that you've seen on a movie set?
Oh my god, on a movie set?
Or it could be TV.
I heard about a prank where Woody Harrelson did on Sean Penn, where he pretended that they were at the police station, and he got all the cops to be in on it, and like some crazy guy came in and pretended that it's just some crazy story. I mean, it's just literally like that some guy that was arrested grabbed a gun and took over the police station, and Sean Penn had a freak out. And I think didn't talk to Woody Harrelson for months or years after that.
So you're trying to say that you can actually go too far?
Absolutely. I mean, punked is the perfect, you know, I mean, I think the punk that I punked Hugh Jackman was the best punked ever. Did you ever see that when I made him think that he burned down my house? Did you see that episode of Punk?
I'm going to be honest. I definitely saw a number of episodes. I do not know if I saw that one, honestly.
Right. You see that? Okay.
Yeah.
So that was I think I pretty much topped myself or anybody else. I made him think he burned down my house.
Yeah, I'm sure that went over very well. Right. Let me jump into why we're actually on the phone. You've done a lot of movies, you've done a lot of stuff. Was this one of these projects that came together quick, or was these?
No.
One?
Are you kidding? 2006, maybe. I've been working on this thing 5 years. I mean, the 5 years from start to finish, but it took me three and a half years to get it going. So it was a long, long process. It was just very hard to get it going, and for a lot of various reasons.
Well, was the idea what was finally on screen what you originally set out to do, or over how did the actual thing change over the years?
It started out, Eddie Murphy came to me with an idea. It was Eddie Murphy's idea, actually. And he pitched me an idea about a bunch of blue-collar, working-class guys, but they were all black. Chris Rock, Chris Tucker, Dave Chappelle, Jamie Foxx, you know, all those guys, and they work in a tower. And it wasn't a Bernie Madoff type character. It was kind of like Donald Trump or something. And it's just, the movie felt too much like Ocean's 11, which I had actually developed. And so, you know, Ted Griffin, who actually wrote Ocean's 11 for me, came in and came up with this whole idea about the guy who does like kind of a Ponzi scheme and loses the employee's pension fund, which just made it much more relevant. But the original idea was Eddie's. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I didn't know that the original idea was Eddie's. Well, talk a little bit about obviously getting Eddie Murphy in the film and what it was like, you know, working with him. Obviously, I'm a huge fan of his. I'm assuming you are as well. Talk a little bit about
that. I mean, I was a kid when I was watching him, and I watched him over and over and over and over again, and there's nobody that I would rather work with in my life than Eddie Murphy. Rush Hour existed because of Eddie Murphy, you know, because I was just such a big fan of Eddie's, and I watched those movies, and that's what influenced me to make Rush Hour. So to work with him on a movie like this is just the ultimate.
Did you have a lot of friends that wanted to visit this particular set just to see him do comedy?
It was like, it was almost as big as the Miley Cyrus video I did.
That's an interesting comparison. I can imagine, though, that there would be a lot of fans of both of those people. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, yeah. Talk a little bit about the rest of the cast, though. You do have a really great cast in this thing.
Thank you.
Talk a little bit about landing everybody, and what was one of these things where everyone you approached said yes? Did you have to do any convincing, or when you said Eddie Murphy's involved?
The person that turned me down was Redford.
That's an interesting...
I was such a big fan of Hot Rock, and I wanted Redford to play it, and he just, I think he was finishing his movie or whatever, I don't know exactly what happened, But and then Aldo was the next idea, but it wasn't that he was a second choice. He was actually a great choice for the part. But I think when you have a script with great specific characters, then you know you get actors that really want to, you know, that really really want to contribute and be a part of it.
Totally.
So that's really exciting.
Well, how did the test screening process shape or not shape this particular film?
It didn't. I mean, I'm very lucky because I screened the movie. A lot of comedies, you know, they test them, they change them, they test jokes, they change them. My director's cut is basically the version of the movie. I don't think anything changed from the first version of the movie to this version, believe it or not.
Well, with all movies, you have deleted scenes. Did you have any sort? So you didn't really have that many deleted scenes then?
Barely any. No, but I already deleted them before I put them in, before they were tested.
Oh, okay.
I knew they didn't fit. There were just obvious things that I just knew that didn't fit. I mean, my movies are pretty tight, and they're pretty well-paced. So you could tell that you know, I mean, I'm not one to make long movies. I don't dwell on stuff. I have the worst ADD, and I keep it moving.
Well, how are you as far as deleted scenes on DVD/Blu-ray? Are you a fan of the extended cuts? Can fans of the movie look forward to seeing deleted scenes for this one on the Blu-ray?
Oh, there will be. There'll be some great deleted scenes, especially when Eddie and Gabourey and, you know, stuff that just was really, really fun to shoot. But because we were doing a PG-13 movie, we kind of had to tone it down a little bit, but we had fun making the movie, that's for sure.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask you about that. When you have these kind of comedians all together, I'm assuming there's some R, borderline X-rated material that, as you're on set, you know, you're filming.
Not X-rated, maybe R, but definitely not X.
You know what I mean, though, like some adult jokes.
No, we definitely went there on some stuff, but it was just, you know, there's not a lot of improv in the movie, actually. The one improv scene is that scene with Eddie and Gabourey when she's showing them how to open the safe, but otherwise there's not really a lot of improv, but there's definitely some funny shit that you'll see on the DVD for sure.
Yeah, that scene was got a lot of laughter at my screening.
Yeah.
A lot.
Right.
Well, I definitely have to ask you, you are producing the Academy Awards. I'm assuming that everybody today has been asking you about it.
Yes.
Yeah, so are you sort of, you've done a lot of stuff in your career. Is this possibly the one that actually makes you a bit nervous?
Not when I have Eddie Murphy as the host. If I didn't have Eddie Murphy as the host, I might be nervous. But when Eddie said agree to be the host, which just happened to, you know, I didn't know I was producing the Oscars when I got the job for Tower Heist. So it wasn't part of my plan, and I just knew that I needed a comedian because of the fact that Billy Crystal and Johnny Carson and Bob Hope were the three best hosts ever, because it was comedic.
Totally.
They were great. And so I said, well, if I can get Eddie Murphy, then I'm a home run. And that's what I did, and I got him, which I guess I had some goodwill because he loved the movie, you know.
I definitely have to ask, for your plan for the Oscars, are you planning on reinventing the wheel, or are you sort of just planning on...
You can't reinvent the wheel. You got to just take the best from all the other shows and try to make it work, because there's the live show gods that kind of dictate what, you know, if there's any going to be any surprises, if you know, there's a very commercial film that's the best picture, you know what I mean? There's a lot of things that are out of my control, but I do my best.
So are you sort of like, you're coming up with ideas, but you'll really, like, flesh them out once you find out what's been nominated?
No, well, a lot of the ideas are dictated by what's nominated, obviously, but a lot of them I'm coming up with beforehand, but it's not an easy job, that's for sure.
I completely understand. Obviously, I've seen your name attached to a number of things, 39 Clues, Hercules,
yeah.
I've seen your name around. What do you envision being the next thing that gets you behind the camera?
I don't really know. You know, all these different projects that I'm developing are in various stages of development, so the one that kind of comes together first, you know, some have an actor attached, some have a script that still needs work, some have a budget that's not there yet, so you see how hard it is to get these big movies made, even with big movie stars.
No, totally, and that's actually what I wanted to ask you about. You've been in the biz for a while now. How has it changed, even for you, over the past few years, with, quote-unquote, DVD sales going down, or foreign territory?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's much more difficult. It's much more difficult, especially in the movies that I'm making, which are very expensive movies, or meaning high budget, not very expensive, but high budget movies. I don't think it's easy anymore.
Yeah.
It used to be, you know.
I definitely have to ask you about Movie 43. I know you did a segment in that. What can you tell people about it, and how much fun did you have making it?
When I do short films, I try to do something completely out of my
genre element.
Comfort zone, out of my element. So I did New York, I Love You, which was a completely, very personal film for me, my most personal film, but it's not like a film I've ever made. I would never do that film as a feature, for instance, because it's not very commercial of an idea. And so that's what I did for Movie 43. I did a film that was completely insane, and it would definitely not work as a feature, but it's something that's out of my comfort zone, and that's, you know, that's what I do when I'm asked to do one of these shorts within a feature.
Sure. Is it an R-rated short or more PG?
Oh, yeah. It's maybe beyond R. It's insane.
Who did you cast in your short?
Mine is with Jerry Butler. I have Jerry Butler in it. I have, Sean William Scott and Johnny Knoxville in my film.
And when is this thing actually coming out? Because I've been
I don't know, because I've only done one segment. There's 12 other segments, and I think they're working on the interstitials, but I'm sure they're going to put it out. I don't know when. I think the Farrelly Brothers, what happened is, got distracted with the Three Stooges, so they didn't get to finish it because they were overseeing the production.
That would explain it. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
If you don't mind, what's going on with Hong Kong Phooey?
That is getting made. Eddie Murphy attached himself, which is great.
Oh, no, I knew Eddie was attached. I just wasn't sure if it was, like, moving. Is it?
Yeah, we're getting that made. I'm producing Snow White. I have a documentary coming out November 20th and 21st on Woody Allen that I produced.
Oh, I was still getting to that. I'm very aware of what you're working on.
Okay.
No, I'm just giving you shit. But, like, I definitely have to ask you about working with Tarzan and producing the Snow White movie. Are you guys close to a title?
To a title?
Yeah, because isn't it, like, untitled Snow White for now?
Yeah, it will be titled. It will be titled, but I don't know when. I mean, that's a studio decision.
No, I was just asking if you guys were close to coming to a title.
Yeah, we will soon.
Okay. Well, can you talk a little bit about working with Tarsem? I'm sure, just like you, I think he's a visionary, and there's no one else like him out there. What's it been like?
He's amazing. He's amazing. I'm looking forward to seeing. I actually didn't see his other movie, and I'm a big fan of his work, so I'm just excited to be producing a film that he directed. You know, it's really exciting.
Yeah, and if you don't mind, you are definitely producing a lot of stuff. I see your name. You know, according to the always accurate IMDb, you're on a lot of different projects. Talk about the challenges of producing versus directing, and
producing is making films without having to work sometimes. It's still making films, but it's a different job. You know, when you're the director, you kind of do all the work, actually. I'm actually going tonight to check the prints of my movie, even though my premiere's tomorrow night. So it's, you know, I'll be working till 4, till the sun comes up probably, and then I gotta go do the fucking Today Show. So that's what the director does. It's just kind of has to oversee every detail, where the producer can put something together, you know, package it, you know, oversee it, you know, give input. I'm the producer kind of that likes to take a back seat and let the director kind of run with it. If he needs me, I'm there for him.
I totally get it. You've been involved
as a director, I'd like to have the producer there with me. You know, as a producer, I don't want to be there because I'm also the director, and I don't want to kind of, you know, because I happen to be a director also, first and foremost, I don't want to be that guy, you know.
No, so totally. I definitely have to ask you, by the way, thanks for giving me so much time. I really do appreciate it. You've been involved with a few different TV shows as an executive producer. Is there anything that's bubbling up for you right now that you might be producing?
I do have a lot of exciting stuff coming up in the TV world, but you won't be hearing about it until next season. Stuff that I've been developing that I'm really, really excited about.
Well, what do you... is it stuff for the networks or stuff for, like, the HBO, FX...
No, networks. I'm also developing something for HBO miniseries on Sidney Korshak that Robert Evans is producing and Brad Gray, believe it or not, but he's a stand-up Paramount, but he's a producer on this movie with Robert Evans. And it's the Sidney Korshak story, who was like kind of the link between the movie business and the mafia. And that's a miniseries that I've been developing over at HBO. But I'm also, you know, I have a deal at Fox Television, so I've been developing a lot of big TV stuff.
No, totally. And Fox seems to be number one, or at least number one or two for the last number of years. They're a pretty good place. If you don't mind, I'm also a huge fan of Woody Allen, and I am curious about the documentary. What exactly could you tell people about it? What exactly can people
Bob Whitey is a director. I produced the film, executive produced it, actually, because in TV it's better to be the executive producer, right? And it's going to go on my frigging gravestone. It's like the best thing I've ever been involved with. Bob Whitey came to me and said, I want to do a movie about Woody Allen. I've been writing him letters for 20 years, and he's been saying no. The only movie he let get made about him was Barbara Kopple's film, which is about his jazz music. He's never let anybody make a film about his personal life or his movies or anything, and he finally said yes, and I asked him if you could produce it, and he said yes. So that was the end of it, and I just went out and raised the money, and we made the film. It's premiering on PBS on November 20th and 21st, and it's what I'm just so proud. I'm proud of all the documentaries I did. I did the documentary on John Cazale, and I did a documentary on Helmut Newton.
Well, so the Woody Allen one actually has interviews with him and other people talking about Woody mixed with footage?
100%.
Really?
But not only interviews, we filmed him on set, we filmed him in the edit room, we filmed his entire process. We showed where he types his scripts, where he handwrites his scripts, where he gets his ideas from. I mean, all of it. It is incredible.
That is actually, I didn't realize it was so comprehensive.
It's a two-part, four-hour documentary about Woody Allen's life. It's the definitive life of Woody Allen, and it's for American Masters, and there will be a theatrical two-and-a-half-hour version for international.
What if you're airing it on PBS, and it's a four-hour cut, and then you're going two-and-a-half for international, where is the decision? So what kind of decisions did you have to make in far as...
It's not easy, but it's a theatrical version. You can't show a four-hour movie in a theater, really. So we've cut it down to 2.5 hours for the theatrical version, which is as good. I personally can watch an 8-hour documentary on Woody Allen because I'm fascinated by him. But an audience cannot really sit through more than 2.5 hours on any movie. It doesn't matter if Marlon Brando came back from the dead. You know, it's like, it's just impossible.
Well, obviously, just like you, I'm a huge fan of Woody Allen. Do you go through his entire resume, or do you sort of pick and choose along the way?
It's probably the definitive film. I don't think it covers every single film, but it's his life for sure, and it's totally approved by him. And you know, it's a great film. But you should somehow get together with the director because he made it. I just helped make it. You know what I mean? Like I said, I'm the behind the scenes producer who kind of just helps push things along and gets things done. I mean, it's Bob's movie, and he made really one of the greatest films I've ever seen on a portrait of a filmmaker, which is, I'm very, very proud just to have my name on it and my company, because I'm, you know, my company produced it.
No, totally. I will definitely be doing follow-ups on looking into that. And if you don't mind me asking, there was always a lot of talk about another Beverly Hills Cop. There's always been a lot of talk about another Rush Hour.
I don't think there'll ever be another Rush Hour unless it's, you know, grumpy old Rush Hour, or get the children of Jackie and Chris and make a Rush Hour, you know. But I think there will probably be another Beverly Hills Cop, and I think more so now than before, because Eddie and I now have a rapport, and I think it's a film that, you know, he's very precious about Axel Foley, less than a movie like Tower Heist, which is just an original, you know, but everywhere in the world he goes, someone's like, yo, Axel, you know what I mean? So I think it's easier because now I know him so well that I can really, get him to come around on some of the ideas that have been pitched out.
Well, and that's what I wanted to ask you about specifically. You've obviously been working on it for a little while. How close are you as far as a script for Beverly Hills Cop 4? Or is it?
We're not close, but I'm hoping in the next few years there will be one. And I'm hoping, you know, Eddie and I are even setting up some more of his ideas. So I'm hoping that we have a long, fruitful relationship. We're both still very young, believe it or not. Eddie's only 50 years old. So I think we have a little bit of time to come up with a great Beverly Hills Cop.
No, totally. He is actually, as you said, 50, which is nothing. Talk a little bit about, is there a chance that you guys could ever pair for an R-rated movie? Or is Eddie going to...
I would be Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah, well, that's what I wanted to... Well, I was getting to that. But I'm just... Because a lot of us fans of Eddie would love to see him exist in the R-rated world again.
Oh, yeah. It would have to be a movie that was either a big piece of business, like a Beverly Hills Cop, or an original idea that was like a independent kind of film. You know what I mean?
No, totally.
A rating is hard when you're, you know what I mean?
What are your thoughts on this 3D revolution that's going on in Hollywood? Do you...
Shit, hold on one second.
Sure.
I can't believe... Okay, you know what? Actually, hold on one second. I think that they're really pulling me off the phone now.
I've kept you on for a really long time, dude.
No problem. But anyway, thank you so much for your time.